Let's just worship the Lord, Barclay.
Can we just take a moment and get quiet before the Lord and remember what it is we are about today? Let me pray for us. Father, there's nothing that we can do or say that would kind of get us to the place where your son was at this day so many years ago. But Lord, we stop now for these few moments to retell the story and to try to take in for ourselves what it means to be sacrificed. So we pray in this moment of silence, Lord, and in the time that we worship, that everything that we say and do today will bring you glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You were despised, you were rejected, Lord, those who passed by, even averted their gaze from the sight. Such was the suffering you bore for us. Led like a lamb to the slaughter, you spoke not a word. Chose to be silent, though you did no wrong. Nor was deceitfulness found in you. Yet by your wounds our salvation has come. Yet by your suffering our freedom is won. For God has highly exalted your name. He has enthroned you on high. Jesus, the name above all names. You were despised, you were rejected, Lord, those who passed by even averted their gaze from the sight. Such was the suffering you bore for us. Led like a lamb to the slaughter, you spoke not a word. Chose to be silent, though you did no wrong. Nor was deceitfulness found in you. Yet by your wounds our salvation has come. Yet by your suffering our freedom is won. For God has highly exalted your name. He has enthroned you on high, Jesus, the name above all names. For God has highly exalted your name. He has enthroned you on high, Jesus, the name above all names. Yet by your our salvation has come. Yet by your suffering our freedom is won. For God has highly exalted your name. He has enthroned you on high. Jesus, the name above all.
This morning we will have 12 readings on the for each of the stations of the cross in the way that I think Gina will also put up on the screen. And in the end of each of the readings, there is a bold part, a prayer, we can all join in. a reflection on the stations of the cross. Station 1. Jesus is condemned to death. It is Friday, early in the morning. Jesus is brought from Caiaphas the high priest to Pontius Pilate the governor on trumped-up charges of treason and is condemned to death. The cries of "Crucify him! Crucify him!" still ring in my ears. The picture of Pilate sitting on the judge's bench asking the crowd of leaders and people, "Shall I crucify your king?" And their response, "We have no king but the emperor," is an image that haunts me. It haunts me because of the callousness and injustice of it all. The world is often so unjust, but mostly it haunts me because I see this injustice, this callousness, sometimes in myself. Lord, when do I see you hungry, sick, and helpless, and do not reach out to you? O Lord Jesus, help us all to remember why you came to us and how we responded. Give us grace to reach out to you in love and justice.
A heavy cross is thrust into Jesus' arms. He is ordered to carry it to the site of his execution. Jesus accepts the cross. Carrying it by himself, he goes out to the place of the skull, Golgotha, to be crucified with two other men. He went out carrying his cross. Humanity is burdened with many crosses: war, hunger and famine, greed and poverty, sickness and death. My neighbors bear their crosses. There are those who mourn, some who struggle to survive financially, some who are in fear and loneliness. Jesus went out carrying his cross alone. He knows what it is like to carry a heavy burden. Lord, you know how to carry a burden. Teach us how to bear each other's burdens and how to turn to you for grace and strength.
Station 3. Jesus falls the first time. The cross is heavy, and the road to Calvary, the road to Golgotha, the place of death, is long. Jesus, weary from lack of sleep, loneliness, fear, and the beatings he received, slumps to the ground. Soldiers quickly drag him to his feet again. All around Jesus are the mockers and those who take delight in human misery. It is hot and sticky in the crowded little street. The air is filled with foreboding on this day of preparation for Passover. These people should have their hearts on pondering the things of their God. Instead, they are bent in God's name to do this evil. The world is filled with people, it seems, who have fallen and struggle to rise, and there are no hands, not even rough ones, to help. Do I too mock him by my unthinking, uncaring gruffness?
Jesus, so much of our wickedness rises out of our selfishness and fear. So much bad happens when we fail to honor you. Forgive us.
I don't know about you, but this week is normally very hard for me. You know, as we begin to listen to the lessons and walk that pathway with him, it starts to work something inside. And usually by the end of today, I'm really hoping for Sunday morning.
Lord, once more to Calvary, to that hill of sacrifice that changed the world for me. Mercies flow from that abandoned place where the weak, the poor, the broken find eternal grace. Who am I that I this love receive? Who is he with mercies ever? Even cross and nails have faded with the blood-stained crown. Earth and clay in death could not contain. Author of the life eternal when you rose again. Jesus Christ, the Lord and God of all. Elohim, Yeshua Adonai. Mighty God, my Lord and Jesus Christ. Lead me, Lord, once more to Calvary, to that hill of sacrifice that changed the world for me.
Have the second group of readers, please.
Jesus meets his mother in horror, stunned, numb. Mary watches. Her son, who glances at her in his agony, is being dragged off to his death. The look on Mary's face, the anguish, the pain as she meets Jesus' eyes, the look that he flashes her. I could not tell what he said in that glance. Whatever it was, she stood there in anguish. What mother would not feel the agony of Mary's helplessness and seeming loss? In a world filled with death and destruction, from wars and earthquakes, from riots and terror, to drought and starvation, have we lost the ability to comprehend and feel compassion in the face of tremendous loss?
Lord Jesus, help us to remember Mary, your mother, as she stood alone in grief. Help us to remember all the other Marys of this world when they suffer. May we be true source of grace and comfort, comforted as we are by you.
Simon Cyrene helps Jesus carry the cross. Jesus is faltering under the load. The soldiers fear that he might die along the way. They see Simon Cyrene put the cross on his shoulders too as he stands behind Jesus and makes him help shoulder the load. A perfect stranger coming into the city just happens to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. He's grabbed and faced down, forced to take the cross. Was he reluctant? Was I? I longed to help Jesus, but I was afraid. I was relieved when they did pick someone out of the crowd to help. I was just ashamed that I could not bring myself to step out of character, out of my role to help the man.
Thank you, God
for strangers in our midst, who often show us what to do, how to do it. Open our eyes and hearts and enlarge our vision.
Jesus speaks to the weeping women. A large crowd of women have followed Jesus' path to Golgotha. They are weeping and wailing in traditional mourning for this man, their friend. They are overcome by their grief and by their helplessness. Jesus says to them, "Don't weep for me, but for yourself and your children." They cry, these women, like I am crying inside. But our tears are not enough. They cannot stop the agony. They cannot feed the hungry. They cannot bring peace. If you must weep, he says, weep for your own pitifulness and lack. There is another way. I know it in my heart. We must move beyond the weeping. We must also act, but I cannot. Help us, Lord, in our tears to remember that we must also act.
Go on up to the mountain of mercy, to the crimson perpetual tide. Kneel down on the shore, be thirsty no more. Go under and be purified. Follow Christ to the holy mountain. Sinner sorry and ripped by the fall. Cleanse your heart and your soul in the fountain that flows for you and for me and for all. At the wonderful, tragic, mysterious tree, on that beautiful, scandalous night, you and me, we're atoned by his blood and forever washed white on that beautiful, scandalous night. On the hillside you will be delivered, at the foot of the cross justified, and your spirit restored by the river that pours from our blessed Savior's side. At the wonderful, tragic, mysterious tree, on that beautiful, scandalous night, you and me, we're atoned by his blood and forever washed white on that beautiful, scandalous night. On that wonderful, tragic, mysterious tree, on that beautiful, scandalous night, you and me, we're atoned by his blood and forever washed white on that beautiful, scandalous night. Go on up to the mountain of mercy, to the crimson perpetual tide. Kneel down on the shore, be thirsty no more. Go under and be purified. At the wonderful, tragic, mysterious tree, on that beautiful, scandalous night, you and me, we're atoned by his blood and forever washed white on that beautiful, scandalous night. At the wonderful, tragic, mysterious tree, on that beautiful, scandalous night, you and me, we're atoned by his blood and forever washed white on that beautiful, scandalous night. On that beautiful, scandalous night. Miraculous night.
Station 7. Jesus is stripped of his garments. Finally, they arrive at the God-forsaken place where he will be crucified. People dump their garbage here. Hurriedly, roughly, his clothes are stripped from his back, leaving him naked in front of the crowd. Naked, exhausted, and humiliated. He had nothing left, not even dignity. Is this his poverty, or is it ours? We took his clothes. We took his dignity, much like this world strips naked hundreds and thousands of its people every day with its greed and its uncaring. Our selfishness stands exposed for what it is when we strip Jesus naked. Dear Lord, we reach out and grasp greedily for you so much, searching for what will satisfy. We do not know to let go of the things that you let in. Help us to choose what will bring healing.
Deep breath, sweetie. Station 8, Jesus is nailed to the cross. Roughly, contemptuously, the soldiers thrust Jesus down onto his cross. Holding him down, some sitting on him, they pound the nails through his hands and feet. After he is lifted up, the soldiers throw dice for his clothing to fulfill the scriptures. They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. The ring of the hammer on the nails, the sickening sound of flesh and bone crunching echo in my brain. I'll never, never, forever forget this. Somehow, this one crucifixion is different than all the others I've been to. The torture, for that's what it was, has not stopped. It still happens every day. From utter brutality to the unkind word that flays the soul, it still happens. By the nonchalance, the ease with which the soldiers threw the dice beneath his feet, as if nothing were happening, horrifies me today. I know I was there. I threw the dice with the rest.
O God, our God, we have forsaken you, fled from the crosses you ask us to bear, turned to endless games and sport, numb in our pain. That day you did not flee. You help us to turn to you, to embrace you.
Station 9, Jesus dies on the cross. The nightmare of pain and suffering, the agony of betrayal and loneliness comes to an end. Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, and he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." The thief on the cross beside him cries out, "Remember me, O Lord, when you come to your kingdom." After three mercifully brief hours on the cross, suspended between earth and sky, Jesus dies. Choking on the hyssop dipped in wine, he gasps out the words, "It is finished." He bows his head and gives up his spirit. I watched. I heard the words he spoke. I saw his agony. I felt the spear dig into his flesh. I saw the blood pour down out his side and down his thighs to the ground. Violence and death. I hung my head. I could no longer see for the tears that flowed like his blood down my face. I could not stop the words. Truly, this man was God's son. I felt overcome. Why did I have a hand in this? How have I let it happen?
I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death.
Thank you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has to me. And like a flood's mercy based on any love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His words my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains on any love. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God has called me here below. Will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine. On the night before He gave up His life for us, Jesus was at supper with His friends. Passover meal. And when it came time for the bread to be prayed for, He lifted it towards the heavens. And He prayed, "Blessed are You, Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. Everything in the heavens and on the earth is Yours, and we thank You for the grain from which this bread has been made." And then He gave it to them, and He said, "Take and eat. This is My body, which is given for you. Whenever you meet together, do this in remembrance of Me." At the third toast, the cup of remembrance, He lifted the wine and prayed once again. "Blessed are You, Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. Everything that is in the heavens and on the earth comes from You, and we thank You for the grape from which this wine has been made." And then He did a strange thing, something quite different from the Passover. He looked to His friends and He said, "See this cup? This cup is the cup of a new covenant, of My blood that is shed for you and for many so that sins may be forgiven. Whenever you meet together, share this in remembrance of Me." And then He gave the cup to His friends. And Father, in obedience to Your call to us to share together as the church, or at least part of the church in this place of Squamish. We gather now at your table. And we pray that this bread and this wine will be for us a place where we not only meet each other around the table, but we meet you. And as we take your body and your blood, the bread and the wine, Lord, we pray that we will be healed. We will be forgiven. We will be restored to holiness. We will be reconciled not only with you, but with each other. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There is your normal process for the people who are from the river know this quite well. This is the bread that, stop it, Mayo. Duh. This stuff has got no weed in it, correct? Right? That's it. And this stuff has weed in it, right? Okay, I got it. So, if you have an issue with wheat intolerance, come and share at this table. Now, I'm going to say this for my own crowd, but what happens here is these guys come up in groups, a table at a time, and take the bread, and then dip it in the wine, and then have communion all together. And then the next table comes up, or the next couple of tables come up. So that's the tradition here, and we're just going to continue on with that tradition as well. Amen? Amen. We're going to start over here, right? And just whoever, do you just like... Okay, never mind. Just come up as you're ready.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in. Thank you.
but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection.
He is dead. His body hangs limply, heavily. The darkness which had filled the sky since noon begins to fade. A wild rumor that the curtain of the temple had been torn in two from top to bottom was circulating. The soldiers yank out the nails to get him down. Everyone, including the women who had followed him, were looking on from a distance, standing back awkwardly, watching the scene before them. Bleeding, broken, limp, and heavy in his death, they place him in the arms of his mother. How did she feel? How did she feel? Mary, the mother of Jesus, how did she feel? With infinite tenderness, she gently held him, wiped his bloodied brow as her tears fell on his lifeless body. How did she feel? She shoos away the hands that would have parted her from her son. Just one more moment, she whispers. How did she feel? Your Lord, say to you, my portion, land of the living, give ear to my cry, for I am brought very low.
The burial of Jesus. Relatives and friends carry his body to the gravesite, to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man who was also a disciple of Jesus. They lay his body gently in the new tomb, carved out of the hill, wrapped in a clean linen cloth. They roll a boulder across the entrance and silently withdraw. The place of the tomb was in a garden. This garden seemed strangely silent and still as I stole into it to watch them. My mind and my body were in shock. Images registered on my brain, but I felt nothing. It was over. The crucifixion was over. This Jesus had died, but my life would never be the same. He was gone. Gone. And I did not know him. I went away and wept bitterly. God, you did not withhold or spare even your own son, but gave him up for all of us. What kind of God are you?
Thank you. I love that picture, racing through the subway at the stations of the cross. It's just a good reminder that wherever we go, Jesus is with us. My reading this morning, there's a statement that jumped out at me. It says, "He who hung the earth upon the waters, today he is hung upon the cross." It's good for us to take time this morning to reflect in our hearts who Jesus is and what he's done for us. I think all too often we're like the person in the song that we've just listened to, speeding through the subway, through the stations of the cross, counting down till the pain will stop. We just want to get through it as soon as possible. Maybe that's a little bit of what Barclay is talking about, just wanting to get through it. It's painful. It's hard to sit in the pain. You know, we as a church have been talking a lot about Sabbath, God's invitation for us to stop and to rest and delight and to contemplate the love of God. And this morning really is a chance for all of us to gather together and contemplate the love of God that is for us in Christ. One of the reasons I think it's difficult for us to slow down and rest and allow our hearts to be still is that we get in touch with our need for God's grace all over again. Like Mumford and Sons' song, "Roll Away Your Stone," says, "Don't leave me here all alone. I'm afraid of what I will discover inside." And I think that really resonates all the reality in all of us. You know, there are a lot of characters in the story, in the readings that we've reflected on this morning. And I don't know about you, but so many of them are mirrors for me. I have to admit that I am often like Caiaphas the high priest, and I too can allow my religion, my faith, my spirituality be empty and blind and thereby totally miss Jesus in the process. I'm reminded of Jesus' words that whatever you do to the least of these, you've done unto me. And I too can be blind to all the injustice in the world. It's true. My heart can be quite callous towards war and hunger, famine, starvation, poverty, sickness, and death. But like the mockers that night Jesus gave his life, I too can be guilty of uncaring gruffness. I can identify with Peter and the other disciples who abandoned Jesus in his time of need, and I see that I too allow fear to often get the better of me. That I too can get lost in my passivity for all the good reasons and thereby fail to move past my tears to action. I don't know about you, but like I said, each of these characters are mirrors for me. It's time to go to class. Hey, Beth. They're mirrors for me. I see a bit of myself in each of them. I'm reminded afresh that I too need God to touch my hard heart with his grace afresh. But it's not just the mockers. It's not just the soldiers and the reluctant disciples who are mirrors for me. Jesus is also a mirror for me. Really struck me even as I was preparing in my office, and the one reading reminded of Jesus totally naked and stripped bare on the cross so moved me. His nakedness, I think, reminds me afresh of my own spiritual poverty, my poor in spirit, my desperate need for him, my emptiness without him. Jesus so willingly embraced his pain reminds me of my reluctance so often to do so, my apprehension to sit in my pain and just trust him to be enough. You've heard it before, no one took Jesus' life. He gave it willingly. I'm reminded of the times I flee from the crosses that Jesus asks me to bear, that like the soldiers preoccupied with money and with outward attire, I too can be lured away by such things. It's good for us to pause long enough to feel, isn't it? To ponder maybe how Peter must have felt denying Jesus three times the night before, to dare to wonder how it felt for the disciples to watch Jesus from a distance that day, unwilling to take a risk, how it must have felt for Mary to watch her son die, for us to slow down and ponder what it must have been like for Jesus and what it must have been like for God the Father. To ponder long enough to get in touch with how we feel. And so maybe the question that we have to ask ourselves today is, how do we feel? How does all of this make us feel? Comforted? Loved? Maybe challenged? Maybe cold? Indifferent? No matter how we feel, we know we are deeply loved by the Father. That the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is for us, for you. I think it's good to pause, to reflect, to remember, to admit that there are times when we too have been in a very dark hole. We've got to the point where our bodies are desperately trying to get back to our hearts, trying to find the rhythm of our consciousness, as that song said, to the rhythm that yearns to be released from control. And that really is a picture of surrender. Surrender to Christ, our lifeline, to come to terms that my sin nailed Jesus to the cross, that I'm not an innocent bystander. Sure, I think we all love to remind ourselves that maybe that we're not as bad as the next guy. But let's be honest, it's all smoke and mirrors. Fact is, we are all in need of God's grace, each of us, every one of us. Not one of us are exempt. We all stand on level ground at the foot of the cross. But for the grace of God, there goes I. Remembering again makes our hearts grateful, humble. I think it's good to pause, to reflect, and to remember God's deep, 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 everlasting love for us in Christ. Let me give you this prayer, and then Barclay's going to come up and do one more song, and then I'll give you a blessing. The prayer is this. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Thank you, Father God, for demonstrating your love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, broken, you died for us. And Lord, when you were buried, it seemed like the end of everything you promised and stood for, but it wasn't. It was only the beginning. And as we travel tonight from the crucifixion through the vigil of Easter to the resurrection, be with us in a special way, to help us to recall and to reflect in our hearts who you are and what you've done for us. Amen.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing love, the Father turns his face which mar the chosen one, many sons who fall. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulder. Shame, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there.
until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is
a blessing this morning. Father God, send out your abundant blessing upon we, your people, who have recalled the death of your Son this morning. Grant us a fresh sense of your grace and mercy, and bring us comfort. Scripture says that you are the God of all comfort. And may our faith and love for you grow stronger, and may we be all the more assured that you call us your dearly beloved children, both now and forevermore. Amen. Thanks, everyone, for coming.